Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Not coming from Brent Veach and Andy Reid, and it's not coming from Sean McVay. It's coming from the Cleveland Browns. And yeah. You're seeing exactly
you know
what
why
people
it's not,
outside of Cleveland
you know,
think of the Browns, outside of Browns.
You know
fans.
Why it's not coming from those guys? Because they didn't draft him. They didn't want him to begin with. This was the one team that wanted him, and they're telling you he's behind. Maybe it's not a grand conspiracy. Maybe everybody is right, and the Shador fans, you wackos. Maybe it's your guy is just not ready. Maybe you got to come to grips with it.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back to the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Chris Rumpf II, number 58. Changed your number. You and Jonathan Bullard kind of mixed me up a little bit early on, but it's all right. Where's home originally?
Home is South Carolina. It's actually funny you brought up the number. My dad wore 58 in college, so that's a little tribute to him. Shout out, Pops. But, yeah, I'm from South Carolina born, and then obviously my dad was a coach, so I moved all over the place. You can't name a state in the South that I didn't live in, except I didn't live in Georgia and Mississippi. Those are two ones I didn't live in.
Didn't live in?
Didn't live in.
Those would have been my first two choices that you probably lived in.
A lot of people assume Georgia, too. Oh, no, I mean, South Carolina, Texas, Tennessee, Florida, Alabama, South Carolina.
What part of South Carolina?
I lived in Clemson, but my dad's side is from St. Matthews. My mom is from Darlington.
Okay.
Yeah. So South Carolina's in my blood.
How did you end up at Duke?
I took a junior day visit there, and I loved it. And I kind of committed there really early in my recruiting process. But once I got there, you know, I prayed about it. I just felt like that was just the place that God led me to be. And obviously, they weren't known for football at the time. But I think the class that I had going in with the guys, you know, we went on official visits. We felt like we could change, you know, the culture around there. And so that kind of what, you know, drove me to Duke was just, you know, a challenge to kind of put them on the map and put a stamp on my time there.
So I'm from Virginia. So I grew up. Now, wait a minute.
I hate Virginia and Virginia
no,
Tech.
No, come on. We're good.
Okay, we're good.
Virginia Tech.
Okay, but we're good.
We're good.
Good.
I went to James Madison.
All right. Then no issues. No issues.
UVA, Virginia Tech, man, they were our arch rivals. They were our arch rivals.
We got some in common.
So, yeah. To Raleigh and that whole area and Duke. And I remember the first time I saw Cameron Indoor Stadium and I went, what? That's it? Mm-hmm. That's the place I've been watching? It looks like a small theater on Magazine Street that you would walk by 100 times.
Yeah, you would never think, especially with the hype and how big the games that have been played there, that it's that small. Or in the middle of campus,
right next to the football field.
Right,
and you look at it and you're like, I was stunned. I couldn't believe it. Because then you go to the Dean Smith Center, and you go, well, this I get.
Yeah. But in Duke fashion, man, the stadium's right next to the academic facility. So, no, man, that's a cool vintage old school stadium. And a lot of big games have been played there. So I've been lucky to go to two games.
Your time with Brandon Staley.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me about it. And kind of, you know, we've heard so much about Brandon. But it's all been the same. I don't think I've ever had a coach come in new or talk to a complete defensive unit, and they all say the same thing. Oh, he's a blast to play for. He's fun. And I'm like, well, what does that mean? Mm-hmm. And usually it's the defensive ends who feel like they have a new flexibility. They're not necessarily tied. It's not that you don't have a playbook. You're not necessarily tied to it. It's play by gut, play by instinct.
Mm-hmm.
Is that accurate?
Yeah, 100%. You look at the college world right now. I mean, the edge guys are the ones that you can change a game at any play. And so to be in a system where the coaches recognize that and allow us to play aggressive and fast within the system, I mean, that's everything you ask for. As an edge rusher, I mean, our whole job is to affect the quarterback and disrupt plays. And so to be able to have a defense to where you're just getting off the ball, and especially if you do your job as a professional and study, watch film, you can take shots and make plays. And so, I mean, it's a blast to play in this defense, especially as an edge guy.
See how I kind of waited to get this question in? This is not the start that you guys wanted. It doesn't matter how it happened. It felt like Arizona, San Francisco, trending right direction. Yeah. Seattle's, I feel like just an aberration. I mean, in special teams, I mean, you know, with that kind of, you get down that fast, your head's spinning.
Yeah.
Tell me your thoughts about the progression of this team.
No, definitely. You mentioned it. I mean, the first two games, against some quality opponents. I mean, they got playmakers of San Fran and Arizona. Both got playmakers at running back and receiver, quarterback. And we played those guys tight. Obviously, we got to stop shooting ourselves in the foot with the penalties. But we were tight within those games. We had a shot, and we didn't knock them down. But, yeah, last week was, like you said, an anomaly. And sometimes you go through that in the league. I mean, you go back to last year, you look at a lot of teams who were 0-3 who made the playoffs. And a lot of teams that were 3-0 didn't. And so what you got to do as an organization, as a team, is just kind of sit back, kind of understand that, okay, let's just flush that. That's not us. We shot ourselves in the foot. Let's be honest, we got outplayed. And you just go back to the drawing board. You go back to work. And that's what the mindset is with this team, is that this week we have to have a great Wednesday. It starts right there. We have to have great walkthroughs. We have to have great sessions in the film room, and then just continue to stack those days, and then come back this week and play a good Buffalo team in Buffalo.
Yeah, it doesn't get any easier, right?
No.
I mean, for yourself, I don't think people understand when you started playing again this year. I can't remember. It was the end of the 23 season, probably the January 24 game. But your last game prior to suiting up against Arizona would have been the 23 season, right? Your foot injury
Hit
you out.
Yeah, yeah.
That's a long – there's some rust to get knocked off,
yeah,
correct?
Especially preseason, you're not going against the starters. And so for me, golly, man, it's been a long road. But, yeah, 23 was the last game. Detroit, I hurt my game. Oh, actually, New York. New York Jets, week 6 or 7, 23 was my last official regular season game.
Wow, okay, so I was wrong.
It's been a while.
I guess certainly there's an excitement of getting back, but there's also, you know, you got to get there's shape and football shape.
Yeah.
And preseason gets you somewhat there, but not all the way there, right?
No. I think after that Arizona game, for me, because especially when I hurt my foot in 23, that's when, for me, it started to click. And you always hear about guys when the flip switches, when they get in the league, and everybody has their own process. Some guys, it happens as soon as they get there. Some guys, it takes a little long. For me, it took a little bit longer. But once I was getting in a good groove and finally, like, okay, it doesn't matter who's in front of me. I know I can win. Foot injury happens. And so to come back and then play in the first regular season game since 23 against Arizona, definitely that was a knockoff the rest type of game. I go back and watch that film. I was disappointed. And then, you know, I was blessed for the opportunity to, you know, make a play in the next game. And I just felt like, okay, I'm all right. We're back on track, back on where we left off. And now I'm just trying to get off and make plays for this team.
Tell me about that play. That was the strip sack of Mac Jones.
Mm-hmm.
And we'll talk about the back end. But tell me from your perspective on that play.
I mean, from my perspective, that's what I'm supposed to do. Everybody keeps hyping that play up. I'm sick of it, honestly, because that shouldn't be a shock that I made that play. That's something that you should expect from every time I go on the field. But
I think part of that is until Sunday, it was the only turnover.
Yeah.
It was the only turnover we could talk about. it wasn't a great play.
Yeah.
It was the only one we could talk about.
Yeah, I get that. But, yeah, I mean, going through that play, I mean, it was just the guy off the ball. You know, obviously I fell down, but, you know, just high-effort play. And that's what most of these sacks in the league are, is just effort plays and got off. I saw Mac Jones still holding the ball, and I'm like, okay, I got a shot. Let me go ahead, stick my arm out, and I felt that ball go up. And the next thing you know, I'm just like, please somebody pick it up. Just somebody pick it up from our team. And I saw DeMar. Well, I didn't see DeMar because I ran to the sideline. And I saw him going to celebrate. I'm like, it's been a while. I forgot, you know, guys got to celebrate in the end zone now.
Right.
So that was another thing I had to knock off. But yeah, that was a play to kind of keep us in the game. And I'm just, you know, glad I was able to do my job and do something positive for this team.
Not everybody in the stands knows it, because I didn't, mm-hmm. but you knew automatically it was a fumble. They were going to review it, you knew, but you knew.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, and that's the thing that goes back to practice, is you drill the things that translate to the game. And that's the things that the fans don't see, is us drilling that exact reach every day in practice. And then that way, when we do get in the opportunity, like I'm telling you, it's not like I thought about doing this. Kind of my body just reacted. That's what I was trained to do in that situation. And so that's kind of cool to just see all that kind of work that you put in through training camp and practice come out, and you see it on the game field.
We will have more with defensive end Chris Rumpf II when we come back. This is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Bullseye, the official tailgate of the New Orleans Saints, here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Listen up, football fans. You won't want to miss this.
Right now, new Bet365 customers bet $5 and get $200 in bonus bets, win or lose. So you could turn that $200 into something bigger when you bet on Moneyline, Spread, Totals, Player Props.
$200 in bonus bets when new customers bet $5. I know where I'm going to bet from now on. Download the app today and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply. In app only.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.
Welcome back. It is the Bullseye Saints Hour. Mike Haas, along with Chris Rumpf II, defensive end. And we were talking about his strip sack against San Francisco. And I commented during the broadcast just because I thought it was a phenomenal play for DeMario, because he didn't – ball's out there. I mean, he didn't just kind of – he didn't try to pick it up.
No.
Didn't scoop it. It was – man, he fought hard for that football.
Yeah. Hey, shout out DeMario, man. Appreciate you. It's funny because he was the first guy that came and he handed me the ball. And so that was a pretty cool moment, and for a guy of his caliber who's been doing it at a highest level for so long, I mean, that it was an honor, man. It was one of the things I won't forget, be able to tell my kids one day. But yeah, man, that was be able to good and celebrate. And I told him I was gonna make a play for him. So that was just a good team ball. And on the other hand, a lot of people don't realize is the guys on the back end. I'm not getting the opportunity. I fell down. You don't get the opportunity of falling down and getting back up without. You know, we got the secondary strapping the receivers on the back end. So as much credit as I get, it wouldn't have been possible without those guys. So shout out Saints secondary, man.
Yeah, you haven't had a chance. You have in practice with Chase's calf. But mm-hmm. to be Cam Jordan, Carl Granderson, Chase Young, I mean, and DeMario Davis, really Cam and DeMario, 36 mm-hmm. years old.
Yeah.
They defy age,
yeah.
Both of them.
Those guys have gold jackets waiting for them.
Defensively, when you look at maybe San Francisco, it's hard to really look at Seattle, but the ability for the front four, front three, however you want to look at it, to get some pressure on the quarterback without having to send a safety, without having to send a linebacker, mm-hmm. is so crucial, because that's – I mean, when you can do that, you're dictating to them.
Yeah. That. We saw the Super Bowl last year. I mean, they rushed four guys, and they had nothing for them offensively. Right. And so when you can do that, it changes games. And I think we definitely have the front to be able to do that.
Played in Buffalo before?
Never played in Buffalo before. Never played Buffalo, actually. Yeah. So it'll be a fun one. It'll be a first for me. I'm excited. Obviously, I love playing any team that is, you know, up there, you know, they're up there. They went to playoffs last year. Went to playoffs, beat Baltimore last year. So anytime to go and play against a Super Bowl contender team, you love that opportunity, because you get to go prove to the world, hey, we're right there with them.
First year in New Orleans, fifth mm-hmm. year in the league. Well, your initial thoughts about this town that we have here?
Oh, I love it, man. Goodness gracious, such a refresher. I mean, I'm not going to, you know, say my time in L.A. was hated, but the fans down here, they're different. I forgot how big football is in the South, and I love it because I'm from here.
Yeah.
And so it's just refreshing to know that you got fans supporting you no matter what. And we have the best fans in the world. I mean, especially for the things that, you know, Katrina, and we saw that documentary come out not too long ago. And obviously I wasn't here to experience it, but after watching that and to see how much the team means to the city, I don't think any other team in the league has the same amount of responsibility for the city to do what they're supposed to do, and that's win. And I think you, once I got here, I kind of understood how important it is to the fans. You feel more, not pressure, responsibility, just you want to do it more. It's something, you're fighting, you're playing for something other than what you are already playing for. A lot of guys play for their families, kids, you know, God. But with all that, you also have the fans, the people. And the more that I'm down here, the more genuine, the more love there is in the city, and the more you want to win for the city.
Kind of what coach was your dad? What position?
D-line coach.
D-line, yeah. So that must have been a lot of fun, right?
I didn't play football until my sophomore year in high school. So a lot of people would think, you know, being a coach's dad, coach's son, that I would have been playing football. No, he wasn't like that. He wanted my body to develop. He wanted me to play other sports and have those traits. And then once I found the love for the game myself, that's when he let me play in high school. So,
you play basketball?
Basketball, baseball. Basketball and baseball are my sports. Yeah.
He wasn't one of those dad coaches that we kind of.
Oh no, Now listen, I wasn't playing football, but whatever I was doing, he was making sure I was, you know, putting my 110%. I remember I was playing basketball. He forced me to go dribble around the whole neighborhood with my right hand and my left hand. So I still got coach now. Don't get it twisted. I was up there, whatever team he was at. I was up there early mornings with the team, working out, doing all that stuff, and. It definitely, I had an opportunity to be a, because he was at Alabama. He's been in some successful programs. I've seen what it looks like to what it takes to be successful. And so I've been blessed with the opportunity to kind of gauge that and know, okay, this is where we're lacking and this is where we're doing good. And so, yeah, it was pretty cool being a coach's kid.
Last question. What's the best thing you've had to eat since you got here? I know you haven't been here that long, but.
Golly, man. I'm a big beignet guy. I love beignets. I'm going to go with Café du Monde. That's my thing. I love beignets. It's my favorite sweet. And to be able to just go down the street and get the originals, man, you can't beat that.
Also, hard to find anything more messy.
Yeah,
it's amazing where
you can't hide it, you can't go.
Did you have beignets? No, man. What are you talking about?
As dust is coming out your mouth,
your car looks like. So it's hard.
Yeah, you're not hiding them beignets, man.
Trust me when I say, you haven't seen the best of the Saints fans. It's coming. Yeah. Right? They are a unique fan base, mm-hmm. and it is coming, and they will support you win or lose. But when you're winning, baby, that place is. It impacts.
Thank you very much for being on the show.
And that is our show for tonight. Thanks for listening. My thanks to Kai Harley, Chris Rumpf II, Charlie Long back in the booth. And after a trip to the Pacific Northwest, we will go to the Upper Northeast and Buffalo, New York, Sunday at noon. A big one for sure. Hope to see you next week for the Bullseye Saints Hour here on the New Orleans Saints Radio Network.
Bet365 is paying out before the final whistle.
Check out Bet365's unrivaled early payout offer. When you bet on a team to win and they take a 17-point lead, you get paid no matter the final score. Forget the final whistle and start counting that cash. Hold up. You get early payout on parlays, too.
Download the app and see why it's never ordinary at Bet365. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 21 plus only. Must be physically located in Ohio. T&Cs apply.
Kevin Stefanski and Andrew Berry, do you think that they are good at what they do?
Yeah, I think so. Well, Stefanski, two-time coach of the year. Andrew Berry, I don't know who. Do we blame the Haslams for the Deshaun Watson debacle?
The questions and the criticisms are more about ownership than anybody on the sideline or in the GM.
He's the head coach of a franchise owned by Jimmy Haslam, so who knows? If you put him in a more stable situation with a less volatile compound in the owner's box, maybe you'd get more.
The Ken Carmen Show with Anthony Lima on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, and wherever you get your podcasts.